Jersey is the world.
Hi, everybody. Chris Gethard here. Welcome to another episode of New Jersey is the World, your weekly blah, 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 blah. You're used to it. We talk about all kinds of Jersey stuff around here. That's what we do. So psyched to have you on board. So psyched to have anybody who cares and listens. Special thanks to everybody who has signed up at patreon.com/New Jersey is the World. Guess what? We have a very special episode for the patrons this week where our friend Jody Bergen County is putting Andrea and I through a Bergen County quiz to see who knows more, a South Jersey person or an Essex County person when it comes to Bergen County. And the results may shock you or not shock you at all, depending on how much faith you have in me. Anyway, thanks so much. This week's episode, super psyched. Mike D recently read a book that breaks down some of the quote-unquote real sources behind the existence of the Jersey Devil legend. And a lot of them can be traced back to things that are rooted in a reality that we don't often talk about. It's more easily traceable than you know. We talk about all that. We have a lot of fun doing so. Some inappropriate things are said. It's a real good time. Enjoy it. Hi, everybody. My name is Chris Gethard. Welcome to New Jersey is the World. Before I say anything else, I have been told that this is a Mike D topic. And as you know, Mike D sometimes throw some stuff at us. And I've been told that there's an intro I should read. So before we even say another word, I'm going to read the intro as requested. In the dense and shadowed expanse of the Pine Barrens, under the watchful eyes of colonial New Jersey settlers, there unfolded a tale most bizarre and frightful. 'Twas in the year of our Lord, 1735, that a certain Mrs. Leeds, of a large and burdened family, found herself with child once again. Upon discovering her expectant state, she, in a moment of despair and vexation, cried out, "Let this one be a devil!" Little did she conceive of the gravity of her words, nor the dire consequences they would summon. The night of the child's birth was storm-ridden and dark, as if the heavens themselves bore witness to the unnatural event about to unfold. The babe, born normal in appearance, began to change before the very eyes of those present. It sprouted horns from atop its head, bat-like wings unfurled from its back, and its countenance became most grotesque and devilish. With a nefarious screech that chilled the bones of all who heard it, this fiendish creature, henceforth known as the Jersey Devil, took to the air and vanished into the darkened boughs of the Pine Barren, leaving the Leeds family in utter dismay and the surrounding communities in perpetual fear. From that night forth, the legend of the Jersey Devil was etched into the folklore of New Jersey, a cautionary tale of wrath, despair, and the unforeseen power of a mother's curse. Many a traveler and settler have since claimed sightings of this demonic creature, lurking amidst the pines or soaring against the moonlit sky, a constant reminder of the night when the boundaries between the earthly and the infernal were traversed, birthing a legend that would haunt the Pine Barrens for generations to come. It's a pretty good dramatic read. I think I only mispronounced a couple words in there.
I think you got
a
it.
True very, professional. A true professional.
Colonial New Jersey.
Is it boughs or bows? What do you say? Bows or boughs?
Like the part of the tree.
You're talking about tree.
Boughs.
Yeah. Boughs. Oh, I nailed it. Never mind. I nailed it.
Like when the bough breaks, the cradle will fall.
That's, yeah. Boom. There you go. How's everybody doing? I think we've set a hell of a tone.
Hell yeah, man. That's like the typical Jersey Devil story of the Leeds family and the birth of the Jersey Devil, that the story that I've heard my entire life growing up.
It certainly feels familiar. It sets a tone. Mike D, why did we have a dramatic reading of the Leeds legend at the top of tonight's episode?
I'm actually glad, Nick, that you said exactly what you said, because that is the classic, version of the Jersey Devil tale that I think every person in New Jersey knows. But I have recently gone down an extremely deep rabbit hole, which gives an entirely new theory, basis, creation, myth for the Jersey Devil that I have been absolutely fascinated with and I'm very excited to talk about tonight.
Okay, I'm intrigued. You're saying you have an alternate take on this?
Well, it's not I started down this rabbit hole because I was very kindly gifted a book for Christmas, The Secret History of the Jersey Devil, by Brian Regal and Frank J. Esposito, where they get into some super interesting ways of thinking about the Jersey Devil that I found really interesting. So I started to dig on my own a little bit, but definitely people should check out this book if they're interested in the Jersey Devil. And we were not endorsed or paid to say this in any way. So I said, okay, this is
nobody pays us. Nobody pays us.
No,
yeah, we haven't had an ad in months. We haven't had an ad in months. Some people reach out and then we always drop the ball every single time. All right, Mike D, consider me very intrigued.
So
you're saying you know the real history of the Jersey Devil.
I think I'm pretty close, actually. I think we can make a very good case that this is the correct way to think about the Jersey Devil. So the Leeds family, right? Mother Leeds, there's Leeds Point down in South Jersey. So the story actually starts with Daniel Leeds. So this is in 17th century, super, you know, early, but like pre-colonial, basically, like, you know, birth of America stuff. So Daniel Leeds, Englishman, he comes to America. You know, like, we'll get into the religion thing in a second because it's absolutely insane. But he comes over to America and he starts a printing press, which most people think is the first printing that was ever done in New Jersey. And so that was his sort of big thing. So he publishes these almanacs, Leeds Almanac. So it's a lot like, you know, later on you have, you know, Poor Richard's Almanac. That comes into the story too. But right. So Daniel Leeds comes over. He starts printing these almanacs. But what started to blow me away is his almanacs are totally filled with all kinds of astrology and occult symbols and all this esoteric stuff. And so he puts these out and all the Quakers who live around here, they get into a big fight because they think that he's, you know, basically evil for doing all this occult stuff. And so he switches religions. He becomes an Anglican. He has this ongoing fight with the Quakers. Does any of this track? Has anyone heard any of this before?
No, never.
This one's news to me.
I know there's a lot of Mennonites in New Jersey, but I guess it was the Quakers before that. Mennonites were like an offshoot of that. So that makes sense.
Yeah, the Quakers were wild. Do you know why the Quakers had to leave England and come to America, among other things?
No.
Is they had a bad problem with walking around naked and harassing people. I'm being completely serious that in England, the Quakers would take off all their clothes and go around and chastise people for not being religious enough.
That's why they all settled in Basking Ridge. That's how that nudist colony that Nick's going to join got started.
We're both joining it. I'll go first.
Dude, when I told my wife, I was like, exactly. Nick and I want to go check it out. We might want to join.
You should have said you were going to go do it with Mike D and it probably would have been okay. As soon as you said Bonaduce, I was like, yeah, I'm going to hang out naked with Bonaduce and we're going to like be around other people.
She was like, no, you're fucking not. Like, yeah, right. Straight up.
I'll go. I'll be the exploratory individual.
We got to go at least take the tour, right?
I'm all about it. I'm in.
I heard that you can get a little cabin over there. Sky Farm, baby. So all the Quakers settled in Basking Ridge and that's why Sky Farm is there.
Another important part of the legend, definitely.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Sky Farm is a direct descendant of the pre-colonial Quaker settlers of New Jersey.
So Daniel Leeds shows up, starts getting in fights about religion.
Yeah. So, and the thing to remember too is, so, you know, there's no newspapers, there's no mass communication. Everybody has these almanacs and a lot of people start printing them. They're almost like fanzines, right? So it has when to plant your crops. It's got, you know, when the moon phases are, but they also insert a lot of like strange personal beliefs and people use them for feuds, right? You know, Farmer Joe's almanac said this about Farmer John and they go back and forth and they fight. So it's almost kind of like a soap opera that happens here. So Daniel Leeds ends up getting this really bad reputation. He's not a bad guy at all though, but he's kind of painted that way because all these Quakers, you know, don't like him. And so kind of the basis for the Jersey Devil starts to begin with this idea that Daniel Leeds is this occult wizard, evil, crazy guy who hates religion. And this is kind of the first seeds of the whole thing. And, you know, because he doesn't get along with the Quakers anymore.
So that's the first besmirching of the Leeds name.
It begins here. It's during Daniel Leeds' lifetime. Yes.
Okay. Good to know. I never heard of this.
So now it starts to get weird.
Okay.
So Daniel Leeds has a son called Titan Leeds. And after Daniel Leeds dies, his son Titan takes over the family business, the Leeds Family Almanac. Then this upstart almanac publisher from Philadelphia named Ben Franklin steps into the picture.
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Heard of him.
I've heard of him as well. I heard he gets his glasses from Warby Parker.
They send him 5 pairs. He tries them all on. He sends 4 back. He keeps the other one.
Yeah, exactly. They come in a nice box. He thinks it's great. And it saves him a lot of money from having to go to the eye doctor, the colonial eye doctor.
So Ben Franklin gets involved in this.
So Ben Franklin and Daniel Leeds' son, Titan Leeds, they start to have an almanac feud. So they're going back and forth in the feud. So finally, Ben Franklin, who's writing, as poor Richard says, actually, I'm predicting the death of Titan Leeds. He's going to die on such and such a day. And he predicts it. And then, you know, Titan Leeds responds in his almanac, like, see, you were wrong. I'm not dead. And then Ben Franklin begins to play out a very, very long lasting joke where he constantly refers to Daniel Leeds as a ghost and refuses
refuses
to acknowledge that he is still alive. And he's like, well, how could a ghost be writing? And he plays this thing. So they have a very long, long spat that goes on.
And were there people who were like, I'm a poor Richards guy, I love this, I'm a Leeds guy, I love this, or people buying both to see the back and forth?
So it seemed like people would buy both, definitely. Or even maybe even more than that, because it was an ongoing feud.
So Daniel Leeds has his name besmirched. Ben Franklin starts actively messing with his son Titan. Yes. This is very fascinating to me, but I don't see how it leads to the Jersey Devil.
So they, their family, because of all these people attacking them, are painted as devils, basically because of their religious beliefs, because of this occult stuff that they do. And then this is where it comes from, because there's this kind of this big gap in information and knowledge. And this is sort of the start of the idea of the Jersey Devil.
So
before we get to the actual monster part.
Yeah, let me know where you want to go, because I have questions, but I also don't want to step on the toes of
Let's do some questions. Not that I'm an expert, but I have been digging into this. So to sum up the saga and birth of the Leeds family and the Jersey Devil, so ultimately it's as if the legend was potentially manufactured by rivals of the Leeds family, right? Including Benjamin Franklin, really to discredit them politically, because they had a lot of sway, because they wrote these almanacs. But the other thing that's super interesting is the Leeds family crest has a wyvern on it, right? And a wyvern is a very sort of dragon, devilish looking monster on it. So the theory goes that it's really all these people just discrediting the Leeds family because they don't like their religion. They don't like their politics. They think that they're witches and involved in the occult, and their family crest is this sort of weird dragon looking monster, and they live in the Pine Barrens.
So my question is, does Ben Franklin antagonizing Daniel Leeds and then calling Titan Leeds a ghost, that's as far as he took it? Or did Ben Franklin ever actually commit the Jersey Devil legend to print?
So I have not been able to turn up any version of the actual Jersey Devil. You don't even really get a Jersey Devil until like 1908, until the 20th century. So there's really...
So the Leeds never acknowledged like the Jersey Devil legend of their family.
No. Didn't. And that's the crazy thing, is the legend doesn't appear until, you know, hundreds of years later. And they think that it was just sort of, you know, calling them the Jersey Devil. And then you don't really get anyone talking about this monster for, you know, another 200 years and change.
I wonder how it started flaring back up again 200 years later.
It was an interesting flare up, right? So there's really like the earliest mention of this stuff later on is Commodore Stephen Decatur, who is a Navy guy, fought in the Barbary War, which I love because that means he was fighting pirates. And he died in a duel, which I'm also a huge fan of. Huge fan of people. But in 1820, he supposedly fires a cannonball from his house at the Jersey Devil and misses it. claiming that it's impervious to being shot. But that's one of the pretty early ones. But still, you know, you've got a pretty long gap of years there. But there's just not a lot of documentation about the early version of the Jersey Devil. And it's not really until the 1909 Great Jersey Devil Panic that this starts to really become a thing.
That is interesting, though, because that's such a long period of time. But to realize, okay, so in the 1730s, Ben Franklin starts antagonizing this Leeds family. And then that set off some sort of oral history chain of stories getting passed around and campfires or bars or wherever. And then it took that long to percolate. So it means people must have been telling the story and passing along and playing this sort of generational game of telephone that eventually turned into the story that we know. I want to know about the panic of 1909 that you're talking about, though, Mike D, because that sounds like when everything got nailed down.
I think that's what, at least that was the first tellings of the Jersey Devil that I heard, right? It was the panic about it flying all around. So this happens in January of 1909, and it actually becomes all over New Jersey, Philadelphia, and actual Jersey Devil panic. So huge panic all over the Delaware Valley. And this is kind of the peak of the Jersey Devil legend. Over 1,000 witnesses claimed that they had seen the Jersey Devil that week. One quote from the Philadelphia Inquirer: "The entire week, the Delaware Valley was gripped by fear, with reports claiming the creature attacked a trolley car in Haddon Heights and a social club in Camden." So imagine you're at your beefsteak dinner in Camden in 1908, and the Jersey Devil attacks your social.
Makes you wonder what happened, though, because that's not, you know, you expect these reports to be coming out of the fucking woods. Like, you expect to hear, like, reports from Red Lion, or, you know, some of the small
Chemung.
Yeah, straight out of Chemung.
Hi, Val.
Coming out straight out of Chemung.
That's a toe. It's like, oh no, people in Camden. And that means what? Like, people took to the streets and chased it away or fought it off? Like, that's,
or it was just like, yeah, it was like, or we can draw attention to our social club and, like, increase membership.
So you're claiming hoax. You're claiming conspiracy already.
Maybe a hoax. It was probably like,
I want to know what caused that. No, it's funny too, because we've lived through a couple of those, like, hysterias. When we were in school, there was a big rumor going around that clowns were going around kidnapping kids. Remember? I was in fifth grade.
A specific clown.
I mean, that wasn't real.
It was Homie the Clown when In Living Color was on.
It was
in West Orange. There were
in white vans.
In West Orange, there were severe rumors that Homie the Clown was the guy dressed as Homie the Clown from In Living Color was in a white van kidnapping kids. And I do remember they did have a police escort outside of Redwood School because everyone was legit convinced we were going to have to flee from Homie the Clown. So it sounds like it was kind of one of those, like a killer clown type word of mouth hysteria, you know?
So I think it was. There's other, remember another hysteria when we were kids? Remember when what's his name? Adam Walsh was kidnapped.
Oh my God.
When we were really little. There was, I think that I remember as being a huge kidnapping hysteria, right? All of a sudden, every parent was, you know, telling you not to, like, go outside. That was the first you ever heard about stranger danger. I think it kind of, that was another huge panic. I mean, rightfully so, like, a kid was kidnapped and, you know, killed, but still.
There were definitely a few, you know. I think it was interesting for us because we were in school. I remember being, I was in third or fourth grade when John List got captured. But I remember so distinctly that everybody was in school. The teachers told us, our parents, everybody was like, they finally caught him. And it was this thing where you realized as a kid, I wasn't aware of it, but that everyone older who had been alive for those murders, that was the one in North Jersey in particular, just everyone was scared of that guy and talked about him for years. And then when they caught him, it was almost like this thing that we had all been choosing to just not talk about constantly came right back to the surface, but you heard it. There was a few hysterias along the way, let alone, you know, every once in a while you would just hear weird, vague rumors that there were voodoo priests sacrificing chickens down at Colgate Park in West Orange. Don't go down to the park today. There's voodoo people there doing voodoo. But all of those are, like, vague and broad. I mean, John List obviously is a very specific murder. So it's either, they live on the extremes, either it's a real thing that we're scared of or sort of more broad, clowns, voodoo, Satanism. But the Jersey Devil being the 13th child of this family sprouting wings and hooves is so weirdly specific that I wonder how it transformed over time.
I have this weird thing, like, and I remember going through West Orange Public Library, even the high school when we were kids, and they would have, like, these New Jersey lore things. And then at some point, it's like 1950, 1960, they have a picture of an ivy overgrown building in the woods, and they're saying This is supposedly the home of like the Jersey Devil, where the Leeds family lived. And more recently, my friend and our friend of the show, Angry Bill, who's going to still build us a demolition derby vehicle, sent me the like building plans if you want to rebuild the Leeds family home that the Jersey Devil was born in.
They have the plans? People are out here claiming they have the schematic.
Do a Google search. I'll send them to you later because I'm on my phone when we're doing the show.
It's people who claim they have the Leeds family home blueprints?
That you have. They have the actual blueprints of the Leeds family home, like, and you can rebuild it yourself if you want it, with great detail.
Sounds like a great weekend.
Do that search right now, and I'm guaranteeing it's going to show up because I actually have that on my phone. I'll have to send it to you. I'll text somebody
now. Well, I'm searching for it now. It does not come up.
It's there. It's there. I'll find it for you.
Well, they had multiple homes, and they definitely wouldn't have lived in a shack because they had money. And they also built a house somewhere at one of the beaches down there that descendants of the family lived in for a really, really long time.
I will say I found a Star Ledger article over at NJ.com, and immediately leads to a man who claims that he is a direct descendant of the Jersey Devil.
So that would mean that the Jersey Devil had children, which introduces a whole other strange set of circumstances.
Maybe he's not direct descendant. He claims that his grandmother was named Helen Leeds and told him he was related to the Jersey Devil.
I'm going to find this link. God damn it.
He has a great quote in the Ledger too. I kind of forgot about it for 10 or 15 years. I think it's one of the weirdest things about growing up in this part of New Jersey. Someone can tell you you're related to a monster and it won't seem like a very big deal.
That's kind of a perfect quote. That's the most Jersey quote ever, actually.
Sprouse's grandmother told him they were descended from Deborah Leeds, a woman who lived in Leeds Point and had 12 children. My grandmother didn't actually think that Deborah Leeds had given birth to a monster, of course, but she did think maybe there was some reason why the neighbors told the story about her. So a lot of my book started out as an investigation in what can be discovered about Deborah Smith and her husband, Japheth Leeds.
That must be later because none of that came up in any of the stuff that I was looking at. And, you know, according to this, what I was reading, there is no mother Leeds, you know, and there was no 13 children either. You got Titan and a couple of siblings and that's it. The wonderfully named Titan Leeds.
Titan Leeds is a fantastic name. Fantastic.
You know, the panic, though, it begins in 1908 with reports of strange tracks found in the snow, unlike any animal known to the area, described as having hooves, yet bipedal, crossing under fences, through fields, and even over rooftops in towns across South Jersey and Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Inquirer on January 20th, 1909 reported mysterious footprints which appeared overnight in South Jersey towns led to the closing of schools in Bristol and the organization of armed hunting parties.
It's like War of the Worlds, another hysteria. This was the War of the Worlds of its generation.
There was a museum in Philadelphia, more like a carnival museum. And they bought the purported body of the Jersey Devil and had it on display in this museum in Philadelphia. Then tens of thousands of people.
I wonder what happened to it.
Went to see this thing. I think the museum, like every good carnival attraction, burned down.
Thank God.
I mean, that's kind of how every carnival attraction ends. It gets it on fire.
They couldn't afford the storage anymore. They burnt it down.
But I think the vibe on that was that it was sort of a Fiji mermaid type thing that they had. I think they said they had taken a kangaroo and sewed wings onto it. And that was kind of what people were looking
at. I always sort of thought like the front quarter of a horse, like you always see the portrayed like with wings attached to it, horse head, hooves and all.
Who here thinks the Jersey Devil might be real? Anybody present?
I do.
Nick, you do. Do you have any?
I also think there's the Pine Barren Sasquatch also, which is another great viable.
Separate.
Yes, but separate, but also.
Ooh, I could believe in a Sasquatch I could buy into. The Jersey Devil is a hard sell for me. But I could believe that there's such a thing as Bigfoot. Like, that's not totally insane.
Now, Nick, I want to know what makes you believe. Have you had any encounters? Have you talked to people?
I've had none, but I live near Stafford Forge, and Stafford Forge is where most of like the Bigfoot experiences like have occurred, and it's still in the same area of like you know, it's just this mysticism of whatever, but it's just like the Bigfoots out west, the Sasquatch or whatever you want to call them, that they emit a terrible smell and they have a really aggressive behavior. And it's specifically near like the bombing ranges. If you go through Stafford Forge, you can go over where they use the A-10 Thunderbolts and like they use all the ground targets. They shot through that school in Tuckerton like years ago. They strafed like the fucking roof of the elementary school in Tuckerton.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
This is like Jersey stuff. This is like down near when I lived in Weirton and Manahawkin area, there's Stafford Forge. We're right next to Stafford Forge is like part of like Fort Dix or whatever. And they do the...
Wait, they accidentally shot up a school?
Oh, this is like a documented thing. Look it up. They strafed like the roof of a fucking elementary school with like an A-10 Thunderbolt. Well, they call it the intruder now. I forgot what they call it, but not the intruder. I'm sorry.
They thought they saw the Jersey Devil.
They were like, we got to fucking kill this thing. They were
trying to protect the kids.
They're like, we were flying through West Creek. We fucking saw this thing. By the time we get it, it was in Tuckerton.
Calling in airstrikes.
That's like for real. Look it up right now. You're thinking I'm a wingnut, but I'm not.
Strafing of the Little Egg Harbor Intermediate School.
Yeah. See?
It's got its own Wikipedia entry.
See? I'm not like,
oh, totally this is out the there. Best. The strafing of the Little Egg Harbor Intermediate School was an incident. Oh, it was in 2004.
Yeah, so it was like 20 years ago.
A military aircraft on a training mission unintentionally discharged 27 cannon rounds while attempting to operate an aircraft-mounted laser. The aircraft was within the training range, as was the target the laser was pointed at, which was approximately 90 degrees to the side of the aircraft. However, the cannon fires to the front of the aircraft. Oh, the cannon rounds flew over 4 miles, with several of them striking a school. Teachers and students were absent at the time. No one was injured.
Thank God.
Let's see. What else? It was around 9 p.m. It was an F-16 Fighting Falcon.
There's a big F-16 fighter wing that flies out of Atlantic City that I know for sure, but it's all tied to like that bombing range that's out there. And it's through the Pine Barrens.
The lead pilot was on a training ride in pursuit of an upgrade to instructor pilot. I guess he got a fucking F on that test.
Everybody got bucked down for that
They get back. He's like, you're trying to be a teacher and you're out here shooting up schools, you fucking asshole. you're trying to teach other people how to do this. Let's see. A recent software change in the F-16 allowed the externally mounted targeting pod to stabilize on a spot on the earth when the avionics were in air-to-ground mode. The pilot intended to fire a laser at a strafe target. The laser and gun share the same trigger. That's not smart design. Mike D, I know you're more the design-minded guy out of all of us, but having your laser and gun have one trigger, that's not good design, right?
Shoot first, ask questions later.
You should never design anything that has an irrevocable action that can't be undone, that just has one way to activate it. Like, I mean, that's kind of like a basic design rule. Like, if something can't be
unless you have hostile enemies.
The pilot pulled the trigger, firing not only the laser, but also the internal M61 Vulcan cannon, discharging 27 rounds of 20 millimeter ammunition, which struck the ground.
Big fucking round.
8 striking the school's roof, the rest hitting the parking lot and the side of the building. Listen to this shit. This next sentence is maybe the funniest thing I've ever fucking read in my life, though. Because, you know, you're reading it, you go, thank God the kids and the teachers weren't there. But listen to this. A janitor who saw holes in the ceiling and had heard something on the roof contacted the police. I love knowing there was a janitor on the school grounds who all of a sudden was like, ah, fuck. And he has to call 911 and they're like, what's your emergency?
He's got like his Walkman on. He's like waxing the fucking floors yeah. there. And like all of a sudden all hell breaks loose.
It's like an 80s movie. And he stops with the Walkman. He has to call 911 and they're like, hello, what's your emergency? And he's like, oh, a fighter jet just shot 27 cannon rounds at my school. And they're like, you can fuck off with that lie. And he's like, no, I'm serious. How come nobody ever believes me?
He got fired on Monday when he came back in.
Let's see. Students. Dude, it was a school day, but students were off for the New Jersey Teachers Convention. See, that's why you got to support the teachers union.
Thank God bless the teacher convention. You think it's bullshit, but it's not, right?
The union went away in Jersey. All those kids would have been shot by 27 cannon fires from a jet. School was repaired over the break. An investigation took 30 days, sometimes during class times. The day the students returned to school, there was live coverage. Let's see. In 2006, a settlement was reached. The district would be paid $519,070.70 to cover the damage to the roof by the Air Force. It's less than the $900,000 the superintendent had indicated would be needed. Blah, blah, blah. Out here, you got the Air Force out here blasting up schools, man. That's the real problem, not the Jersey Devil. Jersey Devil never did anything bad. He's just trying to live in the woods on his own. Leave him alone. Got to hear the military industrial complex shooting up schools in Little Egg Harbor.
Just so you know, I got confirmation from Angry Bill. He's sending me not only blueprints, but directions to the original home.
All right.
That's going to be posted in the Patreon, so stay posted.
If you can remember your password.
If I can. I'll send it to Mike D. He'll post it.
For anyone wondering why Bonaduce hasn't been posting lately in the Patreon, why. He forgot his password.
It's a secondary authentication. I can't get past it. My own authentication.
When he set his recovery question, he was
the passcodes. I didn't save my passcodes. That's what the problem was.
He was horrifically drunk.
I wasn't though. I was
so he doesn't know the answer to his own recovery question. I do have a friend. He did a stand up bit about it. Noah Garfinkel. It was years ago. He won't care. This is one of my favorite jokes. He said he once got super fucked up and opened a bank account. He got like wasted and then opened a bank account. And then when he remembered it the next day, he was like, I don't know how much money I put in there. I don't know how to access it. And when he went in, he had set his question, because you got to set the question as what's that? So it said like, I forgot your password. And he clicks on it and says, here's your recovery question. What's that? And he was like, oh no. And then eventually he realized the answer that he chose was what's what? And it worked.
Oh, thank God.
Great joke. Noah Garfinkel, old friend, good guy. Anyway, Mike D, what else do we need to know about the Jersey Devil and the true history that you've uncovered today? Anything else we want to hit before we start just fucking around and having tangents about fighter jets?
So one thing I think people should know is there is a theory that the Jersey Devil is actually a sandhill crane.
Oh.
Because when people came here from England, they don't have those kind of cranes in England. So they saw these things, you know, flying and running around the Pine Barrens and mistook the sandhill crane for the Jersey Devil. And if you do look up a picture of it, it is not that far different from the sort of traditional drawings of the Jersey Devil that you see.
Okay.
But it can't possibly look the same size. I mean, that thing is like,
I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm a big fan. I live not too far from the Great Swamp, and there's stories that there's a swamp devil in a section known as the Devil's Den. And this is up in, you know, northern, more central Jersey. And I just want to say that I want to just give some credit and say, you know, there is a secondary devil in the state. And all due respect to the Pine Barrens Devil, that's the OG. I also want to just make sure I send some love to the Swamp Devil of the Great Swamp, because that's a good one as well.
So we have the...
How often is that spotted?
Well, every year around Halloween, people see it on my front lawn because I went and bought one of those big giant fucking devil things and from Home Depot and put it on my lawn and then made a big sign claiming that it is the Swamp Devil from the nearby Great Swamp.
That's the only sighting in recent history.
I'm trying to teach these kids about their local history as much as I'm trying to scare these kids, you know?
Got to educate them.
Got it. Somebody's got it.
There's a lot of people.
Lord knows these schools aren't doing it.
Yeah, they're not. The schools aren't terrifying our children enough anymore.
Well, that's why they need to shoot up the roofs more frequently to make sure people are terrified.
Every once in a while, you just need a plane to shoot a cannon at your school so that you stop fucking around and you do your homework, kids.
There was any school that deserved to have a cannon shot at it. It was West Orange High School in the mid to late 90s.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely not tuckered in. Maybe West Orange for sure.
Shocked that it wasn't West Orange.
The cannons might have been from inside of West Orange High School.
Would you go on one of these
shooting out
Jersey Devil hunts?
Yes.
Would you participate in a Jersey Devil hunt?
Nick would lead one.
Well, there's that guy now in South Jersey. He has like a whole Jersey Devil experience where like you go through like a trail. And I think you're like kind of taken through the history of the Jersey Devil. And there's some like, you know, they're trying to scare you, but like it's on his like 10 acres on his property in the Pine Barrens somewhere. Which is great. You know, you got to enjoy that stuff. But
I also want to give a shout out. We talked about Bigfoot in the Pine Barrens, but also want to give a shout out to Sussex County, the big red eye, Bigfoot up there with the glowing red eyes. I would not be, I mean, would anyone be shocked if Bigfoot was real in Sussex County?
No, I believe that.
Nobody.
Yeah. I would buy into that.
Nobody. If Bigfoot's real anywhere.
Is he known for giving red eyes? Is that his thing?
Or he has glowing red eyes.
He's a brown eye guy.
What is this a reference to?
You know what the brown eye is?
Is it a butthole?
We won't go there. We'll just, we won't go down that road. So we'll keep it.
Butthole? Is it a butthole?
It is. You know what a brown eye is? You know what a brown eye is?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people refer to it as a brown eye, but
we won't go there. Maybe that's how he got the name.
I don't really know why we're bringing it up.
I just, because you said red eye, I immediately said brown eye.
Now we're just all thinking about buttholes. That's okay. That's what this show's for. That's what this show's for. Mike D, let's continue with the outline because I'm being an idiot.
I do like talking about the other Jersey monsters. Just kind of pretty
fun. I'm glad that we have multiple monsters. Oh. It's not like we're a mono monster state, you know?
Do we have any, I forget if we have any sea monsters. Like, does Lake Apakong have any sea monsters?
I thought there or just was. Weird, didn't Lake Apakong
weird
have
algae
something?
Blooms.
Yeah, that and yeah.
We're just weird algae blooms. I remember.
The terrible effects of fertilizers on Lake Apakong.
If anywhere had a sea monster, it would be the Passaic River.
Oh, of course. Look, the monster of Lake Apakong.
Oh, there you go.
Let's look it up.
He's like Patty. What's his name?
Hoppy? What is it? I should not have forgotten this. It was in Weird New Jersey.
I used to go up to the Finger Lakes a lot. They have their own, like the Lake Cayuga monster over there. Every good
Hoppy. They call it about a hoppy.
Okay. That's a good name.
Let's see. In 1894, a fisherman set sail on Lake Apakong where he spotted a creature with the head of a dog and a 40-foot-long serpentine body.
Did Lake Apakong exist in 1894? It's a man-made lake.
According to the tale... Oh, this is awesome. This is the best thing ever. According to the tale, the creature's giant bones washed ashore after its demise, and the bones were used to construct a roller coaster at nearby Bertrand Island Amusement Park.
That's marketing.
Imagine if you
that's
took a roller coaster ride. That's wonderful marketing. Weird there. Fucking monster bones.
I'll ride. You know, I don't ride on most roller coasters, but I'll ride one made out of a lake monster's bones from Lake Apakong.
That must have been a really safe roller coaster.
It was super rickety. It was worse than the cyclone.
That's the way to do it right there.
I wonder if there's any other amusement park rides in New Jersey made out of monster bones.
If there are, they're probably in Sussex County.
We're going to open, we're going to get the Star Ledger one day, and the front page story is going to be a huge scandal that everything at Great Adventure is actually made from old monsters. Right down to the concession stand.
Resurrected Pine Barrens and all New Jersey monster bones.
There's an article about the Lake Apakong monster in 1894 that said, there's a quote, "Several shots have been fired at it," read the article. "One man asserts that he hit the head of the serpent with a ball from his .38 caliber rifle and the bullet rolled off like water off a duck's back without even making the monster wink."
I'm really curious if there was a Lake Apakong in 1894 as well.
It's a man-made lake. I don't think it was made.
Is it really? That's a man-made lake?
Yes.
I had no idea. Now I got to look at this. Everything.
Well, it was nobody believes it was produced beach. By...
Was it flooded?
By damming two ponds, the Great Pond and the Little Pond and the Musconetcong River.
What year was that, Mike D? 1925. That's my guess. I'm randomly guessing.
It looks like... The early 1750.
Really? That early?
Boom. That's what it says. The two lakes were first dammed. In,
oh, so that makes sense. And okay.
By 1831, Lake Apakong had been flooded to nearly its current shape.
What was the purpose of that? For there's no commerce. Like, I mean, it was like
they needed a place for the monster to live.
Was it like, I thought they were generating electricity off of it.
It's a sea monster. Yeah, it was like a big aquarium.
A sea monster amusement park?
I love a good New Jersey monster. Who do you think wins in a fight? The Jersey Devil or the Big Red Eye or Hoppy from Lake Apakong?
Jersey Devil all the way.
Yeah, I'd go with the Jersey Devil too. I mean, he can fly.
Yeah, because those are like...
You think so?
Yeah, he can fly and he's not restricted to like land. Like he can go on land. Maybe he might not be as strong in water, but does he have to be?
Jersey Devil, yeah. I think that's true. He's got claws.
He also must be.
Got hooves.
But they're probably about friends.
Got hooves and wings.
Jersey Devil, fuck you up, man.
I wouldn't want to mess with him.
So at the end of the day, you think the Jersey Devil is the Quakers' fault, Mike D. Quakers, who I always thought of as like very peaceful, progressive thinkers who were like anti-slavery in the Civil War. You're saying they are responsible for the Jersey Devil.
All those things are true about Quakers. But yes, I do think that the Jersey Devil is a vicious Quaker plot to defame the Leeds family.
In conjunction with Ben Franklin and his defaming of the Leeds family, especially... Travis.
Yeah. He wanted to sell more almanacs. He didn't want to be poor Richard anymore. He wanted to be rich Richard.
When did the Farmer's Almanac come into like contention?
I don't know. That's a good question. I bet you that's probably like a later invention. But I think almanacs were the fanzines of colonial America.
Did they have lucky picks for the pick three and pick four?
They had all kinds of
numerology,
lucky days. Yeah, numerology, phases of the moon, eclipses, when to plant crops, weather. And then depending on who wrote it, you would get your nice side of occult knowledge, like weird religious tracts, all that stuff. That's what New Jersey needs now, is we need a new almanac.
I would love to have, I mean, we have Weird New Jersey, but like if Weird New Jersey had an almanac section, that would be even better.
Weird New Jersey is the best thing ever, but it doesn't tell you when it's time to plant your crops. Well, you know, it doesn't tell you if there's going to be a tropical storm this year.
What crops do I need to plant so that the Jersey Devil will come into my property? What does the Jersey Devil like?
Oh, that would be an amazing
almanac. Carrots? Is it a root fucking animal?
Dude, if Weird New Jersey put out a modern almanac that told you when it was time to plant your weed plants and when there was going to be too much wind to go down to Barnegat, right? Because that's the type of shit that almanacs used to print.
Like greenhead season? When's greenhead season in Jersey? I need to know.
Oh, those things are nasty, man.
The worst.
Those things are nasty.
If there's a land breeze, just leave the fucking beach. Rule of thumb.
Can't even sit out there.
That's it.
Hold on.
It's over.
You guys hear Cal screaming?
Bad time, I could.
Yeah, he's having a meltdown. We let him stay up too late, but it's his bedtime. You think I should go downstairs and tell him that if he doesn't shut the fuck up, the Jersey Devil's going to kill me?
Yeah, tell him some terrible story how about he lives in the garage.
If I go down there all scared.
And he comes after bad little boys.
No, it doesn't come after him. I'm like, dude.
But like, put like a, do like the wrestler move. We have razors across like your face and you're bleeding. You're like, look what the Jersey Devil did to daddy because you wouldn't go to sleep.
If you don't stop making noise, the Jersey Devil's going to show up and it's not going to kill you. It's going to kill me in front of you and you're going to have to live with it and think about it forever. Ha, ha. Pound me into a pulp, spread my intestines all over the driveway. Who's gonna clean that up, mommy?
Just like when we were kids, you know?
No, that type of crazy shit. If you don't stop crying right now, the swamp devil will emerge from the great swamp and land on our front lawn.
Straight out of the Essex County Training Your Children program. Oh, yeah, of like, dude. Terror Essex, and trauma.
It's Essex County fatherhood right there. I'm tired of this shit, so let me just scare you within an inch of your life and then you deal with it.
scare you to sleep.
If you don't stop crying right now, they're going to throw me in Lake Patkong where a 40-foot-long monster with a dog head is going to whip me around.
And eat your soul.
It's going to eat my soul and swallow my soul, and my soul will live within the depths of Lake Patkong forever. And they're going to use my bones to make a fucking tilt-a-whirl.
And every time you go there...
I didn't want to tell you this, but every time we go to the playground... It's made from monster bones.
Every swing set you've ever been on, the links of those chains are monster vertebrae. Every single one. And every sliding board is a fucking brontosaurus femur.
And the seats of the swings are made from Vin Gopal, fine leather products. I can't help myself.
Every swing in New Jersey is made from the skin of the elderly people that State Senator Vin Gopal has
tanned into high.
He's got human farms down the shore, Cal. He's got human farms. If you don't stop crying, they're going to send me to the human farms where the humans are animals.
Daddy is Soylent Green.
Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Then keep crying. You want daddy to turn into the seat of a swing set? Then you keep crying. I would never. I love that kid to death. I would never.
He's such a good kid.
Yeah, the sweet.
He'll be damaged enough on his own. Don't worry about it.
Oh, believe me, he's got no choice.
That's going to be great.
The seat of a swing set was taking it one step too far. Everything else
he said was fine. The Jersey Devil will be summoned by your cries, but he won't kill you. He'll grab me and fly away into the sky, and we'll make eye contact as I leave, and they'll never know what happens to me. You'll never know if I'm alive or if I'm dead. You'll search the Pine Barrens forever. And every now and then, you'll think that you sense my anxiety-ridden personality somewhere close.
He'll have his own special on the Discovery Channel after this about how my father was stolen by the Jersey Devil.
Jersey Devil stole my dad.
And then Jonathan Safran Foer will write a novel about your experience.
I wonder how a blue hole came to be the Jersey Devil's home, by the way.
I think it has to do with like the moon.
Blue hole's weird, man.
Yeah.
I've been down there.
You went out there. We're supposed to cook hot dogs in the blue hole water.
Oh, yeah. We got to go get some.
I'll get some.
I've canoed across the blue hole. It's not that big, but it's definitely weird, man.
What were you feeling like when you were in the middle of blue hole? Like, what was your thing? Were you like dropping?
We were
like some kind of fathom rope down there. And
yeah, we were dropping fishing line with weights on it down there. It was weirdly cold. It was like definitely, you know, maybe I also just had the legends in my head, but I was like, oh yeah, this water is cold to the touch in a way that's kind of shocking. We were down there in the middle of summer.
That's how all those
springs. I would be surprised if a monster lived at the bottom of it, but hey, stranger things have happened.
Is it really blue?
Maybe it just bathed there and like.
I remember hoping it was going to be neon blue, like a slush puppy or something, but it was just kind of bluish. I remember being a little underwhelmed by the blue, but feeling like the coldness lived up to the hype.
Okay.
That was my
assessment.
Was your canoe made of monster bones?
My canoe, yes, it was made of monster bones.
Was it made of monster bones and fresh skin? Like a skinned canoe?
It was mostly made of the bones of a chupacabra and let's say the skin of
a Monmouth County elderly person.
Yes. Farmed at the human farms. Also, State Senator Vingo Paul had a good sense of humor about that episode and said he'd like to come on the show sometime.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm joking.
He's gonna come on the show sometime, and I think I'm gonna just prepare one, not even a question, just a statement. I was gonna say, Senator, it's so nice to meet you. Thanks for taking the time. This is my friend Nick. And then I'm just gonna step back and let whatever happens.
Because you know, it'll be a very logical stream of consciousness conversation between us. And at the end, he won't know
like
what
the first
happened.
Time he became.
No, this is different. This is different.
Really?
I'll be prepared. Yeah.
It's going to be so different about it, you think?
I'm going to be well informed and I'll be able to, you know, make cognitive points to him that make sense.
And then you'll start doing that. And then I'll say, and now, Senator Vin, how do you respond to accusation that you farm the elderly to turn them into handbags and lampshades?
And he'll be like, I'm suing Bonaduce right after the show. That's what he's saying. He's like, my career is ruined.
All right. Mike D, any closing thoughts now that this one's gotten as strange as it has?
Everyone should read The Secret History of the Jersey Devil.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
It's a super great, fun book to read. And it also has some kind of amazing illustrations of old monsters. It talks about a lot of monster crazes that happened around the world, not just in New Jersey. So it was fun, but it got me thinking. And my big takeaway from all this is history is very weird because you could be a sort of interesting, successful, generally good person like Daniel Leeds, and you will be turned into a monster that 400 years later people are still talking about. So that's
I mean, that's fantastic. That really is fantastic. That's a great legacy to leave behind.
I've told you guys my idea for my gravestone, right?
I thought we were going to fling you into that creek at the end of Allen Street.
You're being like thrown off of a cliff somewhere.
Well, not fling my body. I want to be cremated and have you throw me into the brook at the bottom of Allen Street, West Orange. Yes, indeed.
And then you're like, you get part of like Chris's like ashes in your mouth while you're doing
it. I would love that. But I initially had the idea that I wanted to have a gravestone if I was going to be buried. But I think cremation makes more sense. But I was going to be buried. I wanted my gravestone to say like, beware ye who step upon this grave, for I shall haunt you forever. Like, try to make it an intentionally legend triggering grave. And then Hallie, I don't know if I've ever loved her more. She said, if you do that, I'm just going to have one next to you that just says, I'm with stupid. Anyway, thanks so much for all the research, Mike D. Thanks for filling us in on Benjamin Franklin, poor old Daniel Leeds, Titan Leeds, who has the greatest name. And I'm so happy to hear that we found out that at one point there was a roller coaster made of monster bones. This is what I live for and why we do this show.
Hey everybody, how's it going? This is the voice of super producer and editor Carson Kopp here to wrap up the old episode for you. Sea monsters in New Jersey. He's sitting right here, baby. Sea monster, aka sea minus, aka sea money, because when I see money, I take it. Sea weed, and when I see weed, I smoke it. I hope you guys liked this episode as much as I did. It was a real fun one. A lot of cool little twists and turns, and a couple rants that I wanted to let off the leash a little bit. All in all, a great episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I do, or did, for that matter. You can check us out on Instagram at New Jersey is the World. You can check us out on the greater internet at NewJerseyIsTheWorld.com or at Patreon.com after searching for New Jersey is the World, or you can find us wherever you find your podcasts. You can also reach out and leave a message here on the answering machine at the home office of New Jersey is the World by dialing 973-780-4660. That's 973-780-4660. Keep it tight. Keep it under 3 minutes. Don't incriminate yourself or your friends. And tell us anything you want to tell us about New Jersey. That'd be fun. And then you'll be... you run the risk of being featured on an episode of the Garden State Gagoots, a show where all the hosts from all the shows here on our lovely little network gather around the old digital campfire and take pot shots at your messages for the amusement of all and the merriment of all. I hope you guys are having a great week. I hope you continue to have a great week. I hope the next week is great also. And with that, I implore you, be nice to yourselves, be nice to the people around you, and tell your friends, tell your family that which we already know to be true, which is that New Jersey is the world. Gosh darn it. Have a good one. Later, everybody.